from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like, honey, spin your ears full. Sorry, I forgot the word. I was like, in your ear.
You want to do it again?
It's an earplug? Earbud? Earbud?
Direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everybody. Your new favorite podcast. Going strong in 2020, episode 297, I believe.
We're almost at 300.
We're almost at 300. We should do something for...
Are we going to do something special? For 300?
We probably won't.
We could think about it now. We could start thinking about it now.
Top 300 movies of all time.
Then it's going to be something, oh, I want you guys to watch this movie, and it's going to be terrible, and we're all going to hate it.
All right, and you come up with them.
No, not you guys. I'm just saying, like, if we leave it to the audience.
No, like, how about we sit here right now and think of something special?
We'll have to watch Zardoz again, because that's for off-air. I don't think sitting around thinking is good radio.
Okay, when we're off the air, we can
come
up with
something. You want to spitball something? What do you think? What do you think we should do?
I don't know.
Think of something for 300.
Okay, yeah.
I want everybody's idea by the end of the show.
How about, we got 3 weeks. You know?
Top 300 movies of all time.
Oh, yeah, everybody come up with your 300 list. Top 300. Perfect.
I already got them.
Thank you.
I already got them in my back pocket.
Let me ask you a question. What comes in at 274? What comes in at 274?
Oh, my best list of all
best
time?
Best list of all time.
Of all time. So there's going to be some duds. What there's going to be some duds down at the bottom.
You know, like Hooper.
Nope. Incorrect. Them. With James.
It'd be much higher.
274.
Much higher.
You don't think there's 274 movies that you like that are better than Them? Not that I don't like Them. Them is a great movie.
I'm rattling your cage.
don't rattle my cage.
don't rattle my cage.
It's early. I just woke up. I didn't sleep last night.
Just rolled out of bed.
I didn't sleep at night. I tossed and turned. Listening for the telephone.
I didn't sleep at all last night.
John, I have a question. It's a very special hashtag Ask John Sandy from our friend Brent at the Home Video Hustle at HVH Podcast. He wants to know what you think of the 1941 remake of Phantom of the Opera. With Claude Rains.
Wow. Boy, he really does listen, doesn't he? He knows that I love Claude Rains.
He does. We all love Claude Rains.
You know, that's not a bad movie, but it is nowhere near as great as the silent Lon Chaney version. You know, it's Technicolor. Claude Rains is great. It's just, I don't know, it's a little flabby. You know, a lot of musical sequences, obviously, because it's the opera. It's not one I watch much. You know, I go years and years without watching
it. I think you gave it like a star and a half out of four. He wasn't too thrilled with it.
No. I've probably seen that like twice in the last 20 years. It's a little flabby. And you don't get enough Claude Rains, basically. You know what I mean?
Not like invisible.
It's almost more of a musical than a horror film. And the thing is, once you've...
I'm listening, John.
Once you've seen... anybody who hasn't seen the Lon Chaney original Phantom of the Opera, if you're afraid of silent movies, you got to see this one because the makeup is just remarkable. For a movie that's almost 100 years old, the makeup on the Phantom in that original Lon Chaney.
Yeah, well, that scene where it's the
unmasking. Kind of... As a matter of fact, get on YouTube. If you don't want to sit through the whole movie, get on YouTube. Watch the unmasking scene. Phantom of the Opera, 1925. And it's amazing. And you get a double shock because he's facing the camera. She rips off the mask. You see what he looks like. Then he slowly turns around and you're like waiting for her to see what he looks like.
And it's terrifying.
And it's just about the most amazing makeup job Lon Chaney ever did. So the thing with the Claude Rains version is you can't match that. So when he's unmasked, he's just kind of a bloody mess under there. It's not particularly iconic. It doesn't really grab you. So as much as I love Claude Rains, that's not one of the great remakes.
What's your favorite Claude Rains movie aside from The Invisible Man?
Oh, my God. Well, he's great in Casablanca.
Yes.
You know, he almost steals Casablanca, which is some trick.
He does. It.
That's some trick when you're opposite Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, you know.
I feel like he does steal it.
Yeah. Those are probably my top two. Invisible. I mean, he did 150 movies probably, but my favorite two are probably Invisible Man and Casablanca.
Thanks for answering that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that question, Brent.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we have big news to start the top of the show. I know you guys tune in to hear all the entertainment news and Digital Movie Club, of course. By the way, who's going to do the theme song today? No Patrick today. we're Patrickless. Let me go around the table. To my left in Patrick's usual seat, and I'm very sad because I'm being blocked by the monitor, so I had to turn the monitor.
We could leave it like that.
It's Justine, the lovely Justine.
Howdy, howdy.
Are you a cowboy?
Yeah.
Are you Woody?
Woody.
I'm Woody. Mm-hmm. To her left in the Justine seat is Sandy, who was here, not here last week, and she's here with a beautiful pink cast that we're all going to sign after the show.
No dicks, please.
What? Whoa!
I'm gonna write that on there. No dicks, please.
Sticker. No dicks, please.
What do you got? What do you got, Sandy? How you doing?
I'm good.
How you feeling? You healing up?
I'm a little feeling broken.
How'd you do it?
I was snowboarding, and I fell and caught myself with my hand. It was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Learn how to fall on ice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or don't snowboard.
Yeah, that too.
That'd probably be my. That'd be my the way I'd go.
Learn to fall.
Yeah. All right. Did you cry?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, big time.
I would have cried too. Mm-hmm. Was the bone sticking out?
No. Nothing sticking out.
Nothing
no blood.
Nothing compound. No. Okay.
That's always fun too when the bone sticks out just a little bit, if you can see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Directly across from his lovely lady is Jake. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing wonderful.
Are you taking good care of her while she's in while she's on the mend?
I'm giving her a lot of shit, but yes, I am.
He has to do everything.
Oh, I have to do just about everything. Can you tie my shoes? Can you put on my mascara?
That's when you find out how close you really are.
I did that. Oh no, your eyeliner.
Really?
You put on her eyeliner
one time.
Holy cow!
How was terrified all like, were you that he was going to slip?
Oh, I have contacts, so I touch my eyes all the time.
Poke your eyeballs.
Whoa!
All right.
Mm-hmm. Can you clip my nails? Can you? Yeah.
For those of you who want to line up when Jake's sick of this, we'll give you Jake's information. All you ladies think, wow, that's a guy who really goes out above and beyond.
And he'll do it for free.
Handsome Dan93.
Now checking out.
Hit me up on Twitter.
John Sandy, how you doing?
Good.
How you doing? You know what, John Sandy? I was just thinking, we made it through an entire review of Return of the Jedi, and we did not once do the Han Solo Lando Calrissian scene.
I thought about that when we walked out to the car. Yeah, our cars. I'm like, hey, how do we do that? I was driving home, going, we went the whole time without making that joke.
But watching Wrath of Khan, I figured out where we got the space pirate thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Scott, you old space pirate.
You space dog.
Yeah, space dog.
That's where we got it from.
Yeah.
We convoluted the two.
But, and that's a better shot because they're both in the same shot. Yeah.
Hey, not a scratch, huh?
They're both in the same continent.
Hey. Hey, huh? Hey, you.
I did think that. It's funny. We were both thinking that. How did we get through the entire show without making that joke?
John, why?
Because we've made that joke a million times.
Every time we get off the phone, one of us goes, hey, huh?
Not a scratch.
You, huh?
Hey, now be careful, you old pirate. Now get out of here.
No, huh?
And then you watch the movie and go, we weren't exaggerating. That is pretty much the way it plays. Different. They're not even looking at each other. You know, they're not in the same shot. They're not in the same country that's been dubbed. It's like, hey, and it, weird pauses. Hey, be careful.
Hey,
okay, you too. All right, now get out of here.
What?
All right, I will. And be careful. You too. It's like, God, how awkward.
Return of the Jedi, we gave it an 8. All right, guys, let's talk about it's the talk of the town, right? Let's talk about the let's talk about the punishment that was handed down by Major League Baseball to the Houston Astros for their part in cheating 2017.
Is that the biggest non-drug scandal since like the Black Sox?
Pete Rose, but this involved an entire team.
What happened?
Stealing the signals, right?
Yeah, yeah. You didn't hear about this?
And that would have affected the outcome of the World Series,
Let me get it on me. I know this isn't a sports podcast. Okay, so Jake.
For those of us who don't know, I obviously do, but for
obviously,
some who
Jake,
don't.
Thank
for those
you for
who
playing
don't.
Along, Jake, so that I can,
uh-huh.
I can
thank you for playing
wax,
the idiot. Yeah.
Like wax poetic about this. So here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is a sport where it's cheating. A certain level of cheating is tolerated, believe it or not. If not out encouraged. So let's say, Jake.
Stealing bases.
You get out. Exactly. Well, let's say you steal second. Now you're on second, right? You have a perfect view of the catcher. So if you can
and the signals.
Yeah, if you can figure out what the signals are, you can then, when you get back, you can relay those to the rest of the team. Now they know. Anybody who gets on base can now steal. Now, if the manager, bless you, Sandy, if the manager doesn't change the signs, that's on the manager because you should be paying attention to that kind of stuff, right? Right. Now, you're, of course, remember, you're at a level now. You're at a level of professional baseball, a professional baseball hitter. If he knows what's coming, you've now increased exponentially his chances of hitting that ball. Or if he lays off a pitch that could strike him out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gives him another chance. So now, where cheating is not tolerated is when you use any kind of enhanced device. They don't want you sitting in the outfield with, your Apple Watch, which someone was doing. I think it was for the Red Sox. Or was that the Yankees? I don't remember. But what Houston did was they had a whole system dedicated to just stealing signs. They had a camera in the outfield, and they were focusing on the catcher.
So that's terrible.
And then they would relay it to the dugout, and the dugout had they would either use whistles, which somebody broke down the fourth inning of Game 5, which the Dodgers ended up losing. They either had whistles or they were banging on a trash can lid to let the pitchers know, hey, this is coming, lay off, or hey, this is coming, swing away.
Hmm.
Now, if you look at the World Series that the Dodgers ended up losing, Game 1 at home, Kershaw was dominant. Game 7 after Darvish gave up a lead. Now, they weren't doing it on the road, but you have to think if they had won Game 5, they ended up winning Game 6 at home, there would have never been a Game 7 for them to lose, right? So there's a lot of footage for Game 5, and you hear this whistle very clear. They give them a whistle when to lay off, when to hit, and these guys, because you just kept saying, like, the Dodgers would be up, like, there was a grand slam that brought the Astros back into it. And so yesterday, well, this goes back a couple of months, one of the pitchers for the, one of the relief pitchers for the Astros, who is now on the A's,
whistleblower.
Was the whistleblower. Yeah. He came out and said, look, reputations have been damaged. I feel a tremendous amount of guilt because
careers,
you know, people Kershaw, like, yeah. Kershaw has now been labeled like a choker. That could have been the whole turning point for him.
Jeez.
You know, it probably cost you Darvish money for not being able to sign for more. And then you just, the idea that you just tarnished an entire, you know. So he came forward and said, yeah, we had the system in place. And so the MLB investigated. They concurred that this is going on, not just throughout the season, but throughout the postseason as well. And so what they did yesterday was Monday, they ended up fining the Astros. They suspended the manager for a year. The Astros ended up firing him anyway because they said he didn't have control. But where I take – and they lose their draft picks for the next 4 years, the top two. First, the top two draft picks. But let me tell you where I think the MLB did not go far enough. They should have vacated the title. Not to say that the Dodgers got it, but just to say, we're taking this away from you. We're taking your rings away. We're taking the title away. Nobody won this year. Because there's now nothing that will prevent you. If you think it's only going to cost me $5 million and a new manager, but I get to keep the title, might be worth a shot.
And why didn't they?
And you know,
too big a black eye for the whole sport?
Not
to have a year that nobody wins, right?
It's not even that. I think it's just that, you know, the MLB's like still a boys club, and these guys are all rich millionaires, and they make their money, and they don't want to do anything to hurt the sport, because you're cutting your
even own though loop. There's a team that's doing it for them.
With exactly. The Black Sox, was that I know they banned for life, right? Everybody
and the players for life. The players in this case did not get in trouble at all. They get to keep everything. They get to keep their rings. They get to keep the whole.
That's interesting. Yeah. So they put the blame not on the. Not on the players, but on the management.
Yeah, I think they fired their GM too, but the owner gets.
That's interesting. So nobody in on it, no players in on it.
Alex Cora, who was the third base coach for the Astros, goes to Boston the next year to be the head coach. Boston has now been implicated that they cheated in 2018 during the regular season, but not the postseason. Mm. And guess who they played in 2018 in the postseason?
The Astros.
The Dodgers.
Oh, the Dodgers.
Dodgers lost back to back. So. It's just, you know, it's kind of, you know, is it sour grapes for me? Yes and no, because obviously you want the sport to be above. And you think we're beyond this in 2020, you know, or 2017. I think they should have just taken it away from them because now, you know, what's the message? It's like, hey, you can cheat and get away with it.
It should have been a bigger deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a slap on the wrist.
That's it. I'm done. F the Astros. F them, the asterisks is what we call them now. Ill-gotten gains. They screwed. And then what's the sad part is, it's just that, you know, yeah, Kershaw gets this bad reputation now. He already had a shaky reputation that kind of sealed his fate as having this reputation as not being able to deliver, even though he won game one and was just dealing up until they start stealing the signs. You know,
yeah.
Sorry. Did I go off on too long a tangent?
No. Perfect. Just heard about it yesterday. That's
go Dodgers!
It definitely makes you look at all of that differently, you know?
We're only 2 months away from spring training, John. Mm. Get excited. We're going out to Arizona field trip, guys. Spring training. What do you guys say?
Arizona?
Yes.
Bum, 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 bum. Let's go to where they make the Farmer John Dodger dogs. Bum.
Right,
let's go to Vernon.
Yeah,
let's go to Vernon.
Okay.
Bum, bum, bum.
Justine,
bum,
how do you feel? Bum, you're a huge bum, Dodgers bum, fan. How do you feel?
I mean, don't most sports cheat? Just like, well, I mean, basketball's always cheating, but.
No way.
I hate the way they fake their falls and shit. They're just dramatic actors.
That's from.
It's so annoying.
That's
to
what
watch
happens
them.
When you let Euros in the league.
It's literally just a bunch of whistleblowing in
Euros.
Basketball.
Oh.
Watch men's soccer.
That's where they.
That's
where the tradition came from. When they started bringing all the Euros in,
mm-hmm.
those guys would flop and just.
that's who they need to recruit.
Can't even
for
watch
movies
the game without
cast.
A whistle going off yeah. like every freaking.
Well,
10
you know
second.
That has the Lakers have a lot to blame there. They started doing that. The last 2 minutes of a basketball game used to be the most exciting, and Shaquille O'Neal changed all that because they started doing hack-a-shack and because he couldn't make free throws, so you'd foul him, save all your fouls and foul him, and it's just all free throws, try to win the game that way. Oh, it's boring.
It's annoying,
but I do like that right now basketball, they're trying to get back to that. We just want, it's like the Lakers and Clippers right now. The Lakers are phenomenal right now, and it's fun because they're playing like the old school. It's great. You're racking up like 120 points. It's awesome. I love it. It's all I want to see. Dunking. No defense. Dunk it.
Dunk it. So you want to see the Globetrotters?
I want to see...
Meadowlark London.
I want to see the 70s... I want to see the Philadelphia 76ers of the 1970s. Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder, throwing it down.
Where are those
that
good
was
nicknames?
A real name.
That was his nickname. Chocolate Thunder.
Where are
those
on his
good...
birth certificate.
Dr. J...
Where are these good nicknames right now on Lakers? We don't have those nicknames.
Oh, sure you do.
Mamba.
You got Mamba? The Mamba? Come on. We used to call, when they had Julius Randle, my buddy Hiddish and I used to call him Berserker.
Berserker.
You know what? Because of...
Bazaka!
Because of Clerks. Here comes Randle. He's a Berserker. Yeah, we used to call him Berserker.
Agree with you, though. They should take away titles.
Yeah, strip them.
When I took my criminology class, they talked about businesses and how they can get away with stuff. So why would it stop them if they just have to pay a fine? Like,
yeah,
they can just keep robbing people of money.
Yep.
Large amounts of money.
You have to get their attention. So
yeah, there's no,
something like taking.
The risk isn't.
Look what happened with the banking scandal a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right back to
doing
high
risk
loans.
Yeah, exactly.
They're right back to doing it. It collapsed the economy.
Yeah, it also has to do with who's president.
Oh.
Believe me.
We just need to disband the
Astros. If you ask me right now who I hate more, the cheating Astros or the San Francisco Giants, I don't even know if I can answer that. I don't even know. That's how angry I am. And I was done. Like, 2018 and this last, when we went up against the Astros, I was so numb from having lost in 2017 because I really felt like the Dodgers had it. It was their year. You know, everything was in the right place. It was finally going to, we were going to throw this curse off of the last 30 years. It was perfect. And then to know that you lost because I was over it. I was like, okay, I made my peace with it. And then to find out you lost because people cheated. It's like, you sons of bitches. You robbed me of my happiness. All right. I love you guys. That's it. Go Dodgers.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Let's talk about this. The Oscars dropped, guys. I don't know why I'm rubbing my man chest. Like, I think it's because we watched Wrath of Khan this week, and I'm really finding myself.
Are you, like, checking yourself out in the mirror?
Find myself.
Seriously, I took off that jacket.
How much work would I have
to
do?
Were you a little...
It was so bare. You think he, like, waxes it or shaves it? I don't know.
Course.
I was like, that is a bare chest, and it's...
There we go.
Waxes.
Remember,
and
at the time, people wondered if it was, like, a prosthetic, and it's like, no, that's my chest.
That's it.
It's my real chest.
So let's talk about the top movies of 20... these are the Oscar... These are the nominees for Best Picture. You've got Ford versus Ferrari, which really surprised me. I haven't seen it, but I just...
Check it out.
Is it
good? Is good.
John,
really good.
John, is it Is it this good, though?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Kill the Irishman. Just kidding. It's called The Irishman. I don't know why I said kill the Irishman. The Irishman. Jojo Rabbit. Joker. Little Women. Marriage Story.
I guess that's not... Is that a real movie? It is.
It's not.
I guess it counts.
It's not a real movie.
I guess it does count.
1917, which I've not got, where I've not had a chance to see yet. Has anyone seen it?
I haven't, but you know, I'm not going to wait much longer. I really want to see it badly.
What movie?
1917.
You know, I got to drive out to Hollywood. Maybe I'll catch it at the Cinerama Dome.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Parasite, which I did not see, but I've heard fantastic things about. Our friend Raul, that was his pick for Best Picture.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say this would be a great year for that to win.
I have yet to see Joker. We really did not like the trailer. None of us were really excited about seeing it, so that shows you what we know.
Jojo Rabbit kind of looked like a Wes Anderson film.
It looked exactly like a Wes Anderson film.
Right? It's just, it looked like a cute story. I just didn't like that it felt like that.
I gave Martin a little guff because Martin hates Wes Anderson, but he loved Jojo Rabbit. And I came out and I said, hey, you like Jojo Rabbit? He's like, yeah. I said, congratulations. Yeah. You like a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah,
it's exactly like a Wes Anderson movie.
You saw it, right?
I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in my top five.
I wanted to see it.
It's still out there.
It's out there. Little Women, my wife loved. Saw it twice. My wife loved it. Fantastic. All right, let's talk about. Let's just see what. So let's. That's what the Oscars. That's what the Academy.
Oscar
movies. So we're gonna give everybody our own top five movies of the year. All right, who are we gonna start with? Let's start with Justine. You're always controversial, Justine.
Mine's not in order though, so I'm just gonna.
No, it doesn't have to be in any kind of. But what do you think? What do you feel were the best five movies you saw?
I just watched John Wick 3 yesterday. Uh-huh. Last night. I
haven't seen it yet.
Loved it. Loved it.
Is it going in your top five?
Yes. I just said it. John Wick 3.
First of all.
Why am I bringing this up otherwise?
Lose the gosh darn energy.
John Wick 2 was okay for me, but John Wick 3 was pretty epic.
All right. What else you got? Oh, you want to go around? Oh. Everybody do one?
Oh, do you want me to keep going?
You know, don't you think it's kind of better when you just do your whole five?
Yeah, do your whole five.
Do your whole five.
Okay. John, don't ever tell me how to run the show again.
Yeah, that was posed as a question. Don't you think it's better when...
I put Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Yay.
The Report.
I didn't see that. Was it good?
Yes. This was on my top five. Are you going to ask me every time?
If I took...
Was it good? Did you like it?
Here's what I have to ask you. If I took Adam Driver out of it, would you still enjoy it?
Yeah, that story was pretty good.
Okay, all right.
It's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It just came with eye candy. That's all. Knives Out.
Loved it.
And Spider-Man Far From Home.
You know what? No superhero movies made my list, but I actually enjoyed Spider-Man Far From Home more than I enjoyed Endgame.
Me too.
High five.
But I think it's because I liked seeing him cry.
Well, yeah, I liked Spidey.
They always make Spider-Man cry, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, he's a teenager. He's Luke Skywalker cried. All right. I don't know. Did he cry? I don't remember.
And Marriage Story would have been there, but you gave me such a hard time.
I was totally messing with you.
Said you can't put it on that list.
It's a movie.
What would it have been, number six? What would you swap it out
if,
with?
The Oscar.
Give it honorable mention.
If it played.
Yeah, there you go. It's number six. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, did it.
All right. Come right in at six. All right, Sandy. Top five movies 2019.
So I missed a lot of movies last year.
Which is weird because Jake saw a lot of them.
Yeah.
Actually, didn't. There's a lot of them I didn't see.
But my top five, I've got Avengers Endgame.
Nice.
Really like that one. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, Homecoming or Far From Home?
Oh, sorry. Far From Home.
Okay, because Homecoming was good, too. It's just not
last
Homecoming
not
last was 2018.
Far From Home. And then Hotel Mumbai.
Mm.
And
I didn't see it.
It was real good.
I'll check it out.
Yep. You don't really feel good afterward. It's a good movie, though.
That's okay, though. Sometimes you know.
And Parasite, I've got on there.
Oh, how was that? Please, I've heard it's great. I want to see it.
It was great.
Was it?
Yeah. Top five. Then Dolomite Is My Name.
Yes! Thank you, Sandy. I recommended that to you. I'm so glad you loved it.
It was so fun.
It's a great movie. Good to see Eddie Murphy back in Eddie Murphy form. Jake.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a fresh... face.
I do.
Baby face.
Mm-hmm. Top five movies. I was really surprised actually with Alita: Battle Angel.
You liked it?
It was good. It was. It's, you know what? It's just, it's a lot of fun.
All right. I'm gonna take your word.
And
for it.
I was surprised. I was, because they saw the trailers and I'm like, oh, this looks stupid. Or
the eyes. It's eyes are a little too much. Richard Rodriguez.
But pretty good.
Or Robert Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Richard Rodriguez is my cousin.
If you like robots, if you
he really is.
If you like, yeah, if you like really crazy looking robots, by
Christoph Waltz is in it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that based on a video game?
No, it's based off an anime. Is it? If I remember correctly. Yeah. It's good.
Alita.
Yeah. Battle Alita. Angel. Great. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
There you go.
Yay.
Fantastic. I'm kind of flipping back and forth. I like, this is, they're tied for a place on the five. Sorry. All right. Endgame and Spider-Man, Far From Home.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one I liked more, but both great Marvel movies.
All right.
And Zombieland Double Tap.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I did not think I was going to like it as much as the first one.
It's got your girl Emma Stone.
But it's got Emma Stone.
She is to you what Adam Driver is to Justine.
Yeah. Anything with Emma Stone, I'm like, you know what? Even if it was a god-awful movie, I'm like, you know what? It was pretty good.
Emma Stone. Adam Driver are your Jackie Chans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep, yep. So they
also, Jackie Chan's my Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. I'll watch Jackie Chan anything.
That's got all the original cast members came back?
Yes. All the original cast. They added a couple. Yeah, Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone.
So obviously none of them die in this film.
I mean, you have to watch it.
Not the last film, apparently, because they're all there in the second.
I mean,
film.
Who's to say?
So it already ruined it.
You know, you should watch the movie.
I haven't seen any of them.
Zombieland is good.
I'm terrified of zombies. Why would
I watch
it?
Oh, don't watch
it. It's a comedy.
They're awful.
It's fine. I'm already trying to watch The Dead Don't Die, and I'm already struggling.
That's unsettling even before you see a zombie.
You should watch 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
I have seen that.
What about
That's
this?
A great
terrifying.
One.
That's a great Hear me out. Zombie movie.
That's the one that feels like a real, it could happen, you know?
God, yeah. It's terrifying.
Zombie butterflies.
No. That would be the worst thing. Would you not be terrified of that?
Yeah, you smack them and they like fall down and
then they get back up. Yeah. What do you think?
No.
You don't want to see that?
No.
What if you cut one in half and then
I would like to see them
one?
Killing them? Like, that'd be fine with me.
Zombie Mothra.
Oh, that's right. How would Justine react to Mothra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He's a friendly.
She would...
Or that Goldie Hawn movie, Butterflies
Masuda.
Are Free.
You would die.
Masuda. All right.
Did I say five? I think that was five.
Is that your five?
Yes.
John. Yes. Big John.
Yeah.
John Sandy.
Yeah.
The Sandy Man. What do you got? Top five.
You know, I have a feeling that in a couple of weeks, this list might be different because I still haven't seen Knives Out or 1917.
Okay. Give us.
So without those two being seen, my top pick is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I loved it. Saw it three times.
Wow.
In the theater. I really loved The Irishman. I thought it was great.
Okay.
That's number two. Mm-hmm. Ford versus Ferrari. Really amazing.
I want to see it. I just didn't get around to
doing
it.
I'm really glad it's up for Best Picture because it could get lost in the shuffle this year.
Yeah.
With all the big deal movies. Everybody in that was great. And it's a true story. I do have Avengers Endgame in there.
Okay.
I thought it was really well done. And Spider-Man Far From Home. I thought that was just about one of the best Spider-Man movies ever.
I loved Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It didn't make my top five, though.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of movies I didn't get. I never didn't see Parasite. There's about four or five movies I never got around to.
I think I liked it, though, because we just got back from Europe, and then
I
was like, I know that. I've been there.
I kind of went with movies this year that kind of made me feel like, kind of made me, this sounds so dumb, but it didn't make me fall in love with being in the movies, but they were movies that reminded me like, oh, this is why I like going to the movies in the first place. Like I had a reaction on some level. So I knew I was already going to like Endgame because I was invested in it, right? So to me, it was like, well, yeah, this is the way... That's where Skywalker fell for me, was like it didn't give me the feelings I should have had that I had watching Endgame. But it was like, yeah, I felt like I was going to feel... It didn't shock me that I felt that way. You know what I'm saying?
But that's after a 22 movie arc.
Yeah, and it was a great ending for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like I said, I had trouble with it for the same reason the year before. I told you guys I couldn't do Infinity War. I couldn't give it
It's not a full
movie. So you're watching two halves. So it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to do it that way. But so it didn't make my top five. It's definitely top 10 of the year. I would have to say my top five. Here we go. In no particular order. I'm going to go Booksmart. I saw that pretty late, but goddamn that it made me laugh, and I watched it like twice because it made me laugh so hard. And I wasn't expecting to like it that as much as I liked it. It really made me laugh hard. Dolomite Is My Name. It was awesome, of course, just good subject matter. And then seeing Eddie Murphy again, being Eddie Murphy, was really nice. Knives Out. Had a good time at the theater. The cast looked like they were having a great time.
What's that guy's name? He's in 007.
Daniel Craig.
He's great.
He was great in
that. I just watched Logan Lucky. I forgot he was in it.
Yeah, Steven Soderbergh. I've heard he's good in that, too.
He's so funny.
Maybe you'll like his James Bond movies.
No.
I guarantee.
I watched Logan Lucky because Adam Driver was in it. That was enough.
I guarantee you're going to like at least one of his James Bond movies.
Yeah, you know, his James Bond movies kind of...
When you finally see him in a movie where he's not doing a southern accent, yeah, you're going to go, oh, whoa.
Jojo Rabbit. I never had a movie take me so quickly from tears, from laughter to tears. It just like, you know, like very quickly. And then, John, you and I went to see this in the theater. It slipped under the radar, but we loved it. Documentary.
Oh,
Apollo 11.
Absolutely.
The Apollo 11 documentary. Yeah. It was amazing.
Oh, that was wonderful. That should have gone on my list.
That was
all you talked about
for like
while.
A month.
I have never seen you so attached to a movie.
I'm a nerd about space. And you know what?
You were so right. When we went to go see it at the, the Orange, the Block, you were absolutely right. There's never been a better documentary on Apollo 11.
Well, I'm a nerd about space, and I'm also a nerd about like film history and the fact that they had this footage sitting around, and just the idea that you had to clean it up and take what they had, like actual footage of all 9 days. They had like 9 days worth of footage to sift through and make it a narrative and make it exciting.
There's never been a movie about NASA that puts you so close to what's happening.
Yeah.
You're there when it takes off. You're there when they're up in space.
And without any kind of really narration, aside from like Walter Cronkite and a couple of the public information officers, it was fantastic.
You were so right. I think that's the best movie I've ever seen on NASA ever.
Yeah. So again, like you said, John, we have yet to see 1917. I have yet to see The Joker. I enjoyed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I enjoyed The Irishman. They would probably round out a top 10 for me. I need to see Ford versus Ferrari. I'm going to give Marriage Story a shot just to give Justine some love.
You know the one I want to give a shot is the Peter Jackson documentary, They Should Not Grow Old.
I saw it. It's good. Very good. Yeah. Very interesting, because there you're seeing footage.
The real.
And you're hearing actual interviews from these guys that were still alive like in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really good.
Got to see it.
Yeah. Check it out. So give us your Oscar. What are your top five movies, guys? Hit us up on the Twitter at Soup Complex, S-O-U-P Complex. Let us know what your top five movies are. All right? What was your most overrated movie this year? What do you guys think was like, eh?
I already know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say Star Wars.
Well, aside from that, just because it was like, you know, what movie did you see that was that you were like,
Joker.
Really?
Everybody loves it. It did not knock me out. It's up for 11 Academy Awards. It did not knock me out. Everybody digs it. And that's the one I feel was overhyped.
All right. That's fair.
Even though Joaquin Phoenix does a great job, the movie itself did not knock me out. So.
I need to see Parasite.
I feel like a lot of that is just subject matter. The fact that it's dealing with like mental illness, and that's kind of a prevalent thing right now, and it's probably had something to do with it.
I would say Captain Marvel. I wanted more out of that.
You wanted more out of Captain Marvel?
I love that she's not so girly, and I love that. But it just didn't... They were trying to give her this history that I wasn't... buying.
I thought it was weird that they gave that for someone who ended up having such a not a sizable role but such a huge impact in Endgame, that they didn't try to bring her in earlier.
Yeah.
Everybody said that. How come she's not in Endgame more?
And they made a big deal of her at the end of the movie where you're like, oh, they're reaching out to someone. Like,
and she's the only one that can stop Thanos.
You know? And then she's also just not the one that does it. So.
And she's in maybe, 20 minutes of the entire movie?
Yeah.
They kind of did the same thing with Captain America, though. They threw Captain America, gave him his movie like right before Avengers came out. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
And it kind of slipped under the radar for a lot of people because...
No, I loved Captain America. That was great.
I thought it was good, too. But
it's one of my favorites.
I think it could have been, had they brought him in earlier, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have been more interesting. Yeah. Well, with hers, it's just... I wanted it to be great, and I just didn't think it was. It's probably one of the ones I don't like out of the majority of the Marvel movies. And it's sad, because she's supposed to be awesome.
I like Brie Larson. I know she got a lot of backlash. Her and Rose Tico need to make a movie together.
Just call it In Your Face.
Just call it Suck It Fanboys.
Is that the one with Samuel L. Jackson? I saw that one.
Which one?
She did a movie with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, she did, yeah.
And he's like an imaginary guy.
What?
Oh,
yeah. And she loves glitter. And
what?
Yeah, it was...
the TV show? Is it Unicorn Store?
With Samuel L. Jackson?
Maybe that was it. It was Unicorn Store. Oh, it was a show. Weird. I thought it was a movie. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's so weird.
And it was Samuel L. Jackson as an imaginary friend?
I don't know.
He's just this imaginary guy who also has glitter, and he's like, you won't get this you won't get to see the unicorn until you do this and that. And
that's Samuel L. Jackson?
It's so weird.
Well, isn't he also the bad guy in, I think it's the first Kingsman?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's a lisp in it?
Yeah. Oh, he's great in that. Yeah. I love that. Eating McDonald's like on a gold platter.
Wait, did the new Kingsman come out this year?
I think it's this
last
this
year, but there's another one coming.
No, it's called The Kings, like The Kings.
You know what it is? It's the beginning. Yeah. It's the beginning.
That's next year. Okay.
It's even like takes place during World War I.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's written and it's directed by Brie Larson. Yeah. It's called Unicorn Store.
I just thought she was a
movie. What was it?
So she's just
TV?
Weird.
TV or movie?
No, it was a movie.
Really?
It was a movie. Yeah, okay. I thought it was a movie.
So,
I don't think I would have said.
Wait. It's giving me TVPG, so...
I don't think I would have sat through a whole show, though, of that. It was so weird. It's really odd. I wouldn't waste your time watching it, guys. Don't watch it.
Did anybody see the second Kingsman with Kurt Russell
mm-hmm.
and...
Mm-hmm.
Was that any good?
Mm-hmm.
If you like the first one, it's more of the same.
Yeah.
It's like more of the American guys?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
It was because they meet their counterparts, right? Their opposite numbers.
But yeah, for me, it was Captain Marvel. It had a lot of hype. And
Godzilla, for me, was probably the most overhyped that I was really disappointed.
I feel like it wasn't really typed all that much to begin with.
Are you... What?
No. You hyped it up quite a bit.
They used Claire de Lune in the trailer. How much more...
Yeah, and they had 11 in it.
Yeah.
That girl, I forgot her name.
That was bold. Now, what's the one that had the slow-mo over the rainbow? Was that another Godzilla trailer?
That was the same one.
Same trailer, yeah.
Holy cow. Talk about laying it on with a trowel. Mm-hmm. It's like...
All right.
It should have been Moonlight Sonata. And here he comes, smashing through the city.
Do you have another... do you have anything overhyped, Sandy?
I missed a lot, so I don't really have... much.
I'm gonna say
nothing that I saw, but I'm not excited for all the live action Disney movies.
No one is.
Those are all. I think those are all overhyped.
You know, they're gonna start.
I'm scared that Birds of Prey is gonna be overhyped.
Do you think they'll do a live action version of Star Wars Disney now that they have the rights?
How about a live action version of Clone Wars?
Yeah. That would be cool.
What was overhyped? The ending of Mandalorian.
That was
how
good.
Dare you?
I hate you.
Who's gonna do that? You're my oldest friend.
Who's gonna do the digital movie club theme, guys?
I'm not doing it. I'm in the chair. I'm not doing it.
I'll do it. I'll double down. I already get mistaken for Patrick anyway. I might as well play both.
No. We mustn't.
No, you mustn't.
I can do the instrument. Your instrument is dun 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 dun.
But then you gotta do the ba-ba-da. You gotta do that too.
Yes.
How?
There you go. Okay. Ba, ba, da, ba.
All right. I want to see it. Let me see it.
Digital movies.
Yes.
Digital movies. Digital movies.
I got it.
You already did it. We just kicked you out. I like this. I'm closer to Mario. I get more high fives.
I feel betrayed.
High fives. You get all high fives.
Beyond the darkness, beyond the human evolution, is Khan, a genetically superior tyrant. Exiled to a barren planet, banished by a starship commander he is destined to destroy.
I like this.
Left for dead, he has survived.
I'll chase him around the moon.
banks of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up. There she is. There she is.
Captain. Give me major power.
A few shots, sir.
Not enough against their shields.
The base is starboard.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me, marooned for all eternity, buried alive, buried alive.
Sean! Sean!
At the end of the universe lies the beginning of vengeance. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
All right, guys. Oops, I just turned off my own mic there. Oh, no, I turned off the headphones. Can you guys hear me now?
What? No.
Hello.
There you go.
There we go. Sorry, guys. Had a little tech difficulty there. Turned off my own headphones. Turned off my own mic.
If we sat next to you while you watched that movie, would you be quoting the whole thing?
He was quoting the whole thing.
I mean, he didn't say it out loud. He was just mouthing it.
I was just mouthing it. I can perform the entire...
Not as, in its entirety?
I'm supposed to ask Brent. This is from Brent. I'm supposed to ask Patrick if he's watched Brain Damage yet. Did he watch? He hasn't watched it yet.
I don't think so.
Was that a Peter Jackson thing?
I don't know.
Is that the movie he got?
Yes. It was a present.
It was the present he got.
I don't think he's watched it.
He has not watched it yet, according to inside sources there, Brent. Sorry.
Inside sources.
Who shall remain nameless.
Got a text during the show there. It's as close to live as we get, John. Live radio.
Real time.
I can perform, not as good as my friend Bobo. Bobo can perform Ricardo Montalban's and Shatner's parts both. He can do the whole movie for you if you want. But
it's a good movie.
This is a favorite. So we're all sitting around. We're sitting around the Paramount. We're sitting around the writer's room, and we're thinking... Empire Strikes Back. That's a great title. What do we have? What do we have? Empire Strikes Back. We need something. What do we got? Wrath of Khan. Whoever came up with that, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. This is by far the best Star Trek movie.
It is. And I never get tired of it. I thought, we're going to sit through this. I just saw this. I get sucked right in. It's you never get tired of this movie. It's really just built like a Swiss watch.
Now, Sandy hadn't seen this one before, right?
Correct.
So, Sandy, this is your first watch. We all wanted a field trip. We all loved it. What did we give Wrath of Khan the last time?
Good question.
Do we have that?
Are they going to match? Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
That was before.
Oh, that was a field trip, though.
That was a field trip, though. So, these will be the...
We probably weren't rating it, then.
No, I don't think
I'm going to have it. Okay. I can listen and find the episode.
No, don't worry. Don't put yourself out. I mean, we're not paying you for this. Don't go out of your way. Seriously.
No.
So, Sandy, I don't know. Are you a huge fan of the original Star Trek?
I haven't seen any of them. I think I watched whatever the last
she
one
watched
was.
Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a continuation
continuity
for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because I feel like this movie, even if you don't know the story, they give you enough backstory in it.
Absolutely.
And they wrench enough times that you know, like, okay. Kirk maroon this guy and he's out for revenge.
Yeah.
So not having seen it, did you feel like it was an improvement over the motion picture?
I think anything would have been an improvement over the motion picture.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That one was real slow.
Boy, they needed this one. If this one hadn't been this good, that would have been it. They said that would have been it for Star Trek.
What I love is they still give you a couple of the money shots of the Enterprise, but they
lift
them directly from the motion picture and they're like, here you go. Here's your money shots.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy this one more than motion picture?
I thought it was a little slow.
Sorry.
You okay? So I also have a problem with not paying attention during a lot of the movies that we watch. Sorry. But I did watch it again, and I liked it even better the second time.
Perfect.
So we also watched the newer Star Trek with Khan in it.
Into Darkness.
Yeah, so it was fun to compare the two because there's a lot of
He's in a new one?
They have a new one, Into Darkness is what it's called.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch playing Khan.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Does he have the hair?
No.
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 I hate it. I already hate it.
It's a different approach.
He does have the low cut. No, low cut.
J.J. Abrams tried to pull that one of those things that he kept telling everybody, it's not Khan. It's not Khan. We're not going to remake Wrath of Khan. And they remade Wrath of Khan.
It really is. Yeah.
They will, not to a T, but it's pretty close.
A lot of,
we're going to reverse the...
Pretty close.
Oh, Kirk dies instead of Spock. No. But wasn't enough to... Really,
you know, that wasn't a bad movie, but why do it? Why do a remake?
There were
the
great sequences in it. I love the scene where
I don't understand.
I love the scene in that one where Khan like wipes out all the Klingons by himself. That was kind
of
cool.
I just don't know why you have to remake Wrath of Khan. Why you got a million stories out there?
Yeah,
but it's not called Wrath of Khan. It's
but it is Khan.
Yeah,
John, just reach out, right next to you.
So they find Khan. They find him or something?
It's a similar... Yeah. It's not exactly the same story, but it is Khan.
Oh, God.
And he's genetically modified and all that stuff.
The general idea of the story is the same, but it plays out a little different.
But in the reverse, when they do the...
Inverse.
When they do the... They reverse it, so it's Khan. It's Captain Kirk who takes the radiation pill.
Yeah.
And then he says, I will always be your friend.
So, yeah, I know. I saw the movie. I saw the old movie.
But you liked it better the second time, Sandy.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Are the characters growing on you? This one has a little more humor.
Yeah, I caught. I thought it was interesting because in the newer one, whenever something goes wrong on the bridge, they would be like screaming at each other, like get the shields up. And then I went back and watched the old one again, and he was just like, get those shields up. He's like, I can't do it. It was like very calm.
Wait, it's the only time you'd say that Shatner was underplaying.
Yeah.
Compared to Christopher Pine, you know, shouting it.
Yeah, but I liked all the jokes in it.
Sorry, you know, Josh. Somebody brought that up with The Rise of Skywalker. I did that thing where they talk about like J.J. Abrams' style is always, you got to get the plot and you got to make it loud and you got to make it, it's got to be quick. And, you know, he hit the audience over the head with it. You made a good point, Sandy. It is. This is more like a submarine movie where you're like, we've got to be kind of like, it's intense, but there's like, you're not screaming at each other. It's
run
like,
silent, run deep.
Very
That's how Christy Alley is the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a Vulcan too. So.
Stay calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah.
She's also adorable in it. But.
Yeah, we fell in love with Christy.
She is actually beautiful.
I saw it again. I was like, she's really cute.
She looks gorgeous. Even with the ears, you're like, I'll just pretend she's an elf.
Yeah.
Like
you know what? They said she dug those ears. She'd wear them home. You know, the opposite of Nimoy was like, get him off. And she was like, I'll wear him home. I kind of like him, you know.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What did you like most about it, Sandy? What did you enjoy?
I like when they do, like, little jokes within the plot. So, like, he has to wear glasses because he's allergic to whatever thing that helps your eyesight when you get older. And I think my favorite line was when they're in that big new world that they've generated, and she goes, can I cook or can I?
Oh, yeah. That is a great... She's so good, and she's not in it enough because she's a nice little foil for Captain Kirk. I do like that she's like... She's a smart lady. Like, you know, it wasn't one of these Captain Kirk's bimbos.
Like one of those green...
Yeah. This is like,
green slave
like,
girls.
Oh, this could have worked for you, Kirk, if you weren't an idiot.
Right.
This could have really worked out for you. And,
right.
You know, you have a great son now.
Yeah.
And he's proud to have you as a dad, which is a nice little... But there's a great line that I never caught in this, where he talks about where, at the very end where she says, you know, you really never had to face death, and he said, no, I've always gotten out of it, and he said something, he said, I always and I patted myself on the back for it, and it's like, that's such a great thing to give a little backstory to give Kirk going back to the show, where he just seems kind of like this jaunty
cavalier
devil may care kind of guy. You're like, oh no, that gave him some depth
and
some weight, and.
You're right. It gives him more of a... And also it shows that he is getting older. It's not all fun and games anymore. You know? It's one thing when you're a cadet, but now...
Let me ask you a question, Sandy, as someone who's basically new to these movies. Do you have a favorite among the crew? Who do you like? Do you like a Sulu? Like, oh, we're not going to make it, are we? Or do you like a check off? Like, no, Captain
Wessel.
Please. Yeah. Or do you have like a, do you like Uhura?
Like Scotty?
I kind of like Scotty. I was thinking Scotty. Scotty's I was like, Scotty, Bones. I like Bones in the newer one for sure. But I like Scotty. He's like,
Scotty, he's just down
got
there.
Got all the lines.
And he's the working man. He's down there getting it done. Yeah. But he's up on the bridge getting the glory. He's
give it all she's got, Captain.
A few short set. You're like, well, we're screwed.
He calls everyone lads.
Yeah.
I like it.
In the theatrical, in the director's cut, it's only like a minute longer. You find out that little boy, the guy who gets killed, is his nephew.
Yeah.
Do they mention that in this
It's
one?
In the DVD.
Yeah.
It's guy now part of the movie,
He's watching him work on, he's watching him down.
He stayed at his station. Yeah, he didn't run.
Did you say that we had the director's cut for this one?
We did.
Yeah, there's a scene, there's a real quick scene where they, after the battle, the elevator doors open and Scotty's standing there holding the kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do get the snippet of him, like at the very beginning, oh, this is my nephew. Oh,
okay.
This is my sister's boy.
Yeah. Yeah, my sister's boy.
Man, Scotty's great in this one.
He really is.
I like when he's that. I love when he just tells Kirk, Captain, he's dead already. And then he just...
Yeah, that's a great line.
And then the next thing, he's playing bagpipes. You're like, man, Scotty's... I always had an affinity for Mr. Scott. Justine, having watched this again, did you enjoy it?
Yes, I love Khan.
He's so good.
I think I just like the bad guys.
You love his, do you love his pecs?
You know, when his shirt was like off or his jacket was off, I was like, where's his nipples? There's just no pepperonis there. I'm like, it barely hides his pepperonis, so I never saw it. But
you know they were grade A quality. Yeah. Don't you wish you'd lived long enough that him and Adam Driver could have done a movie like about like trapeze artists or something, and they don't have any. They're just in like the high pants.
I've been working on these pecs for 4 weeks.
You are my grandson.
I'm sure you would have looked really good.
I'm trying to teach you to walk the wire.
No, why can't it just be Planet of the Apes?
Yeah,
right? They're just working in the circus.
Yeah.
I was looking at his filmography. So he goes from Planet of the Apes to Fantasy Island to Khan.
Yeah.
Basically, is the trajectory.
Crazy? Yeah.
You know, he would have been 100 this year.
Get over Ricardo. He really does bring a lot to the role because that could have been
absolutely.
He just looks like he's having the most fun out of everyone.
He looks like he appreciates that he's able to do this. Like,
yeah.
Like he's really...
He's playing it like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
He's playing like an old school villain, you know?
Which works really well for the character.
You have to because they don't meet on screen ever.
Yes.
So you have to really play it big because...
Yeah, that's right.
You got to act to the back row.
You got to act to the back row.
It's screen to screen, yeah.
Yeah. My favorite scene is when he's like, oh... You weren't looking for me, something like that.
Yeah, he's like,
and I'm like, dang, his wheels just turn so fast. He's such a bad guy. I love it.
You weren't expecting to find me.
Yeah.
Why?
And I was
are
like,
you here?
When I was watching, I was like, oh shit. He knows.
He's so menacing because he's like, you are in a position to demand nothing. And then, and then he turns, he's like, well, I am in a position to grant nothing. You don't know how he's going to go. He's like a cat. You're like, what's he going to do next?
No, he basically tells him, like, you're screwed either way. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love how he beats him. And it's just great.
And then what is...
I love a good bad guy.
He does the thing with the forceps. Like, around the cerebral cortex. I can watch him do that. Or then, like, Robert always noticed how he like, when Chekhov talks, like, he narrows his eyes. Like, Khan narrows his eyes. He's like, look, how does he do that? I'm like, used to watch that movie.
We need a gif of him doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just taking the, when he takes the, that reveal takes the
That's
mask
a
off.
Great shot. He slowly unmasks. That's a great shot.
You got to hand it to Nicholas Meyer. He handled a lot of that and gave it a lot of those touches, like, you know, the nautical theme, stuff that would stay with Star Trek forever.
That's right. The uniforms, everything.
Changed the uniforms.
I mean, my God, it gave Star Trek a second life. If this hadn't worked, that would have been the end of the franchise, yeah.
Jake, did this hold up for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Ricardo Montalban is he's just so fun to watch on screen.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so, just... over exaggerates the character, and it really plays, it kind of plays into his
haughtiness. It's funny, it's true to the character. It's
absolutely
not so much he's overacting, but
no,
he's being the way that, you know, this guy has a flair for the dramatic, obviously.
Yeah, it's super, yeah, the superhuman guy who's got this very over the top, you know.
Did you enjoy his performance, Sandy? We didn't ask you that. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like he always steals the show.
Yeah, it's always great because you're like, he's off on his own. Like, you think of it, he's on his own. I think he recorded, or he filmed this stuff like 6 months before
wow.
the rest of the crew.
Really?
And he was acting to like a script girl.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he was acting
Holy
to like a strip
cow.
Girl. So that whole scene where he's doing with like, you know, where he's wow. talking to Kirk over the, they
that's
never
a,
meet. So
that's a great
I did
job.
Listen, I watched Star Wars, the second one with Rian Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to commentary for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that every time, because when they had to see each other, Rey and Kylo,
yeah.
Adam Driver was always there, or Daisy Ridley was
oh,
always
cool.
there in their scene to help
that's,
out with it.
That's cool.
So they were yeah. always standing in front whenever
exactly.
they did that.
Nice. Yeah.
So that's crazy that he did that by himself.
Imagine he's doing that like that whole scene.
How
where...
do you get the tone right? My
yeah.
God, that's acting. That is a masterclass. Mm-hmm.
Makes
acting.
Me love him more.
I know.
Unbelievable.
What does he say? I have given you no word to keep, Admiral.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, my God. You're just like, I love this guy. I kind of want him to win.
Yeah.
Kirk could take a loss or two. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's,
I would have been fine if he won.
It's just like,
that's how it ended?
He's, like all great villains, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong.
No.
He's been wronged, and he now wants his revenge. And
his wife is dead.
His wife's
and he wants
dead. Yeah, he wants.
I love that the guy in the beginning is like, you don't have to go after him. Like, it's fine. He's like, no, I do.
No, I
like there's the Achilles heel. Yeah. Oh, no. Because on the other ship, they're like, you think they'll follow? Oh, yeah, he'll follow. Oh, yeah.
There's one
throwing
thing
up middle fingers from the Enterprise, like, fuck you.
There was one thing I thought that was kind of stupid is when Spock was talking about Khan's way of thinking, and he's like, oh, he thinks very two-dimensional.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, we'll just go down and come up behind.
But if you think about it, he would be thinking like he's on a ship, like on a boat, or he's not thinking about,
yeah.
you know, he's not used to space combat, so he wouldn't
it's
be thinking.
Ridiculous.
Also, you're in this, you know, this nebula where you can't
see anything.
See anything. Yeah.
You got to use logic to defeat your enemy, man.
I also noticed that, at least in comparison to this one from Into Darkness, the revealing of like the next plot piece or the next plot point is very linear, where it's like this is what needs to happen and
yeah.
then this is what happens. Where in the Wrath of Khan, it's the opposite, where they're already doing something, and you're like, what's going on? What are they doing? And then they reveal it later, like,
yeah, yeah.
oh, we're doing this because of this. This is, yeah.
See, we'll
they reveal
see.
It. They reveal it backwards.
Different
how
types
we're used,
of
story what we're used tone. To.
Yeah. The beginning part of it when she's in training reminded me of Monsters Inc.
Oh yeah.
The way he's in training
yeah.
with the kids, scaring
yeah.
the kid. I was like,
I
wonder if that's where they got it from.
I love Bones in that scene. He's like, what'd you think of my performance?
He's like, I'm not a drama critic.
And then he looks at him like, you're a dick. Like,
you dick.
I remember, I think I told you guys this story. My dad was not a huge Star Trek fan. Took me to see it because Ricardo Montalban was in it. Had to support the brown people. And I knew a little about Star Trek, and I didn't know they were. I was like, why is everybody dying? What's going on?
Did your dad dig it?
My dad did like it. Yeah. It was fun. There was enough action in it to keep him entertained.
And
mm-hmm. And Ricardo Montalban is always great. But I remember that scene in the theater when they put him in the ear thing in the ears.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That freaked me out when I was a kid.
Oh,
I was
it's
like,
so nasty.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, it's still nasty
oh,
after
it's
all these.
So gross.
And when it comes slipping out, bleeding, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, kill it.
Poor Chekhov. John, you still love it?
I still love it. Every time I see it, I like it. I like it better every time I see it, which is really rare. You know, how many times have we sat through this thing?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
And we just saw it. It seems like we just saw it. And I thought, okay.
Like a year ago, maybe?
Yeah, and I thought, is this going to be a slog? And it just pulled me right in, even though I know every line, like you know?
Yeah.
And
I never get tired of it.
It's so strong. It really is the best of the Star Trek movies. It's the best villain.
Yeah.
Nobody ever does a better job as the villain than Ricardo Montalban.
And I feel like after we watched it, I've noticed how many times people reference this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I hear it in pop culture all the time.
They even reference it in Seinfeld. whether somebody dies, then they go, well, like they said in Wrath of Khan, nobody's dead if you find a way to remember them. It's like, it's so funny. Yeah, it does get referenced a lot.
Yeah, sure. I heard it in a rap recently. And awesome. I was like, I wouldn't get this if I didn't see that movie.
See? You're welcome.
And so many great moments between Kirk and Spock, which you didn't get in the first movie.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the first movie was an enormous missed opportunity because they said what they figured out is everyone loved the way the three main characters play off of each other.
Yeah.
You know, Bones and Spock and Kirk. That's the fun of the series.
Yeah.
So going back to that, and you get that in this movie.
Let me give you a nice scene where they're all trying to figure out
yeah,
what's going on with the Genesis device when they they get that great
exactly. But the quiet moments too, where Spock tells him, you know, I have no ego to bruise. You know, you are clearly the best choice in any scenario to be the captain. So please, you know, I'm not gonna, just great moments like that.
All good, all true to the characters.
Exactly. And that's why, that's what gets you about the ending, is they've already kind of set that up. They've already talked about that, you know, that, you know, it's better to take the bullet, you know, for the whole ship.
Sure.
And so when he, that's really, that scene still gets you every time.
Oh.
You know?
Just the way he runs into the glass because he's blind, you're just like,
Also, he does the thing where he's sort of like, straightening his uniform.
Yeah,
he's like, slowly turns out real dignified, you know? And you see how scarred up he is from the radiation, you know?
Man. Then that's how you guys are supposed to send me out, all right? Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. And then as Dazed by the Kinks is playing, launch me out into space. All right, guys?
I love that they said that the word had you heard about this? Word had leaked out before they started shooting. Somebody figured out. The fans figured out. They heard the rumor that Spock was going to be killed. And they started... Nicholas Meyer said he was getting death threats. You know, if Spock dies, you die. You know, you think that crazy fans just are like a new phenomenon. He was getting some crazy mail. And they said, okay, it's already out there what we're going to do. So we've got to find a way to defuse this and also for them to not be watching through the whole movie, when's he die, when's he die. So the whole thing on that simulator where Spock dies like everybody else does, they said, now we're going to throw him off the trail. They think, okay, this was it. It was a kind of a...
That's good.
I had never heard that before.
That's
he was talking on the commentary track. So we'll kill him in that first 5 minutes, and then you see that it's a fake, and that puts people off of the scent. Because he didn't want people sitting there through the whole movie going, when is he going to die? When is he going to die? You know?
That's genius.
That
did
really
they already
is
have that scene in there, though? Or did they add it in because
no,
of it?
No. I think the rumor got out before they even started shooting.
Okay.
So they said, okay, you know how we're going to fix this? We're going to do a scene right up front. And people go, oh, that's what that was all about. Because he said he was getting this crazy fan mail. Don't kill him. Don't kill
him. And that gave rise to the Kobayashi Maru, which is still not part of.
Yeah, that's Kobayashi I love Maru's. That. I love that when he finally, when she says, how did you get out of here?
That's what we call when Justine gives us a movie we love, a horrible ranking. We call it the Kobayashi Justine.
The no-win scenario.
The no-win scenario.
I reprogrammed it, so Casablanca is no longer a good movie.
All right, let's rank it. What do you guys, John, you want to? What do you give it?
Oh, hell, I give it a 9.
Wrath of
Khan. Yeah, yeah, love it.
Jake?
I also give it a 9.
Sandy.
Also 9.
Justine.
I gave it a 9.
Guys, I think we did it. 9, baby. It's a 9er for me.
Is that the first time we've all hit the same number?
Patrick's going to give it a 10. Watch.
Patrick will give it a 10. But, you know, there's only a few things that keep it from being a 10. You know, there's just a couple things
we
here.
We gave a Dog Day Afternoon 9s.
All 9s.
Mm-hmm.
This is on par with Dog Day Afternoon for me.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, hell yeah. I can watch that movie over and over too, and I never get sick of it.
I finally realized last night there's no number where I'm going to get tired of this movie. You know,
the first time we agreed on everything, it was Were Eagles There. We all gave it an 8. Yeah.
That movie is awesome.
After that, it was Dog Day Afternoon 9, and we gave Logan's Run a 2. And we haven't agreed since.
They deserve it. They deserve it.
Yeah, but I think what keeps us from a 10 is just the pacing's a little slow in the beginning. It's kind of slow to get going. But
I mean, you know, it's not a perfect movie. But
I'll tell you what it is. It's the ear. When they do the close-up of the ear, and you go, oh, that's a papier-mâché ear. But that's okay.
That's,
you know, when the bug comes out of his ear and you go, oh, that's like a clay ear. A
it's so gross, though. It's
see, these days you just do CGI on that. It would just look like a real ear, you know?
No, I don't want that. I don't want that.
In this quiet neighborhood, on this tranquil street, a mystery is unfolding.
This is a new trailer, apparently.
Sounds like it.
And an adventure is beginning again.
I'm keeping you.
In March 2002, Steven Spielberg's masterpiece returns to theaters everywhere.
Sorry, guys. I picked the wrong trailer.
Phone home.
E.T. Phone home.
Like you've never experienced it before.
You're worried about what?
Stars had it on, effects. And I was hoping it wasn't the new one. The new one sucks.
Oh. How is it different? I think I saw the reissue. And I wondered later if the effects were different. So what did they touch up? Oh, sorry. Go ahead and finish that.
Yeah, John, let us finish that.
Sorry.
Just kidding. and experience the excitement. As E.T. the radio turns home to
the
big
screen for a new generation to discover the guns. What the rest of us will never forget.
Guys,
that is not how you bike.
Guys, when I was a kid,
well, with those bikes. Not wet.
E.T. When I was a kid, guys, this movie was huge.
How old were you when you watched it?
I would have been 11.
Did you cry your eyes out?
I cried. Yeah. I cried. I'm not gonna lie, I cried when I was 11. Kidding, I was a sensitive boy, Tommy.
I read a lot of backstory on this.
Did you love
trivia.
It? Did you guys spot the Harrison Ford cameo?
No.
Where was he?
Melissa Matheson wrote the screenplay. And she was married to Harrison Ford.
Yes.
The scene where they can hear the kids talking and the guy's got his hand over his.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if you look real quick.
Would not have caught
Harrison
that.
Harrison Ford, yeah. He was just there as, like
he
one
was Bob
day.
Falfa. His thing said Bob
yeah,
Falfa.
Yeah, Bob Falfa. Yeah. But
were they married when she wrote it?
They were married when he was divorced a little few years later, I think. Yeah, man.
So what did they change on the?
I don't know. I didn't
2002.
See talk
it's just
about
a lot of like. So when he's in the cornfield, right?
Yeah.
There's a part where he's just screaming, and you would end up seeing him like running around, and you'd see like a little like
E.T.
Like a CGI of him just running around. There's just a lot more CGI happening in it.
Not sure what I saw a DVD. I'm not sure if it was the newest.
You would have noticed.
They took out the guns pretty quick. I think like the next time it was reissued, they took out the guns and made them walkie-talkies or radios.
But then they put it back.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
No, really.
The version if you stream it. It's,
oh, they put it back.
It's back to normal. Yeah.
Interesting.
And it was only like I think Spielberg regretted it.
So anything with the bikes or the spaceship, anything that wasn't like tampered with, right?
No,
okay.
I think
it
did,
was just E.T. that.
I think
different.
They did a little CGI. Oh. With
like
the
he just
ship.
Looked young, that's and there's more expression and more like. Oh,
oh really?
Like, it looks really bad.
Ah.
I saw that a few years ago, and then when I watched this version,
so his face,
the old one.
Okay.
The original.
Yeah. The OG.
Now, how many of you had seen this before we watched it? All of you guys. John.
So many.
How many times have you seen it? How many times?
Probably 10, 15 times.
You saw it in the theater, right?
I loved it. I saw it in the theater. Here's my story. Saw it at the old La Habra Fashion Square. There was a girl who the movie already started, and she had gone to the bathroom or something. She was probably around like maybe like 7 or 8 years old, and she was trying to find her mom, and she was actually crawling down the aisle.
Wow!
And she went too far, and she hit the bottom of the. Of the screen, like there was like a like on a stage, and she hit it, made this huge sound. She's like, boom, and she just like turned around, like scared. But I'll never forget, she looked like the little girl from Poltergeist. She had like that straight blonde hair.
That's funny because during the filming of this one, he was also a producer on Poltergeist at the same time,
yes.
So he was doing both. And they said that this was supposed to be the opposite of Poltergeist, where the suburban home was a safe place and it was fine, and another one where it was scary. And that's where they did the two movies like
nice.
That.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Nice. I know, John, that you said this movie didn't hold up for you immediately.
Well, because what happened was I saw it at the Cinerama Dome when it first came out. A whole bunch of people from work went to go see it. All adults. And we all got choked up. We're watching it. And at the end, when it looks like he's going to die, we all got choked up. We're all looking at each other. It's like this whole, you know, we're all like, you know. What, like 20 or something, and then we get the whole row taken up because we're like, yeah, the new Spielberg E.T. And when he's dying, we're all looking at each other like, are you crying? Are you choked up? You know, we're like, and then he comes back, we're like, of course they're not gonna kill him. It's like you feel like, you know, like the hook. They got the hook in the mouth. You're
feel like,
oh,
an
right.
idiot. You're like, oh,
you know. He doesn't shut up after that.
Yeah, and it's funny because everyone's laughing this relief.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, phone home, and you're like, that's
yeah,
gonna...
he just wants to shut up.
And you're so relieved that he's alive. You're like, I love how he's like shutting the lid. Okay,
yeah,
okay, now
like,
knock
okay,
it off.
No. Covering his mouth.
And then what happened was, I thought it was so amazing that I think, yeah, like 2 weeks later, I drugged somebody to go see it. And I guess at that point, I could see all the manipulation.
Yeah.
All the string pulling to get you feeling this way and that. So I was kind of like disappointed. I probably haven't seen it since then.
Yeah.
So it held up better this time.
Okay, good.
It did. I was kind of worried, like, oh, gee, is this just going to be a... And I thought, no, this really works again.
Yeah.
And I did get choked up. I'm thinking, Jesus, I know what's going to happen. And my throat's getting all tight. And I'm like, really? I'm like 58. And I'm just like, oh, no, don't die, little guy. You know? And I'm like, I know what's happening. But you know, it's well made. So, you know.
Well, what I noticed this time really was just the sincerity. Spielberg has this thing where it's always, you hit it on the head, just, it's always suburbia. Yeah. It's always these families.
Sure.
But these kids are so genuine. Like Henry Thomas.
Yeah,
and Drew Barrymore and the older brother are all so genuine.
Yeah,
that it really makes you like, you know, the whole, then there's a whole subplot with Patrick with the dad. Yeah. Like they're reeling from this divorce. You know,
God, the
like,
whole thing with the clothes. They find his jacket in the they're smelling it. Oh, Old Spice.
Well, he also said that when he was filming it, he said you would feel it better if you were shot from his point of view. So the camera's brought lower.
Yeah, yeah.
When they're filming everything. Yeah, yeah. That's why you only
That's why you only see the teacher. You never see his head.
Yeah. You're always at the kid's height. It's so like that peanuts. Way you're feeling it. You feel the feelings there. But also when he filmed it, he also shot it in chronological order to make the kids... It was for the kids, so that way they felt for him. So when he died, they would feel more feelings.
See,
didn't they surprise the younger Drew sister Barrymore? With the Drew alien? Drew Barrymore? When she walked in? I don't remember. When she walked in and saw him E.T. for the first time.
Well, they did that with the little boy in Close Encounters when they go to the fridge. Uh-huh. And the kid has they said they had a guy in a gorilla suit standing there. Yeah. And he got scared, and then he had a box. They opened the box and there was a puppy inside.
Yeah.
And so it was just like to get the kid to be like, like they wanted that, you know, that initial start, but then it's like, okay, it's going to be okay. Like, because he's reacting to something off screen. You know.
Sure, sure.
Spielberg, master manipulator. Pull the strings! Pull the strings!
Well, also, I love the way when you first see all those government agents, it's kind of like out of Bambi where, you know, man has entered the forest, you know? You know, where you just see, like, the legs, you know, and you see the keys, and you're like, okay. You're almost seeing it not just from the kid's point of view, but from E.T.'s point of view. It's like, what are these guys with the flashlights and the keys and all that stuff?
I'm hearing the keys.
You know?
But did you know that that guy's credited as Keys?
I saw that. Peter Coyote. I'm like, really? Yeah. They didn't give him a name?
Yeah. They said he never gave him a name. They never gave Elliot a name, so you never got his last name. So you never got his last name.
You never know. You do know that they live in the Valley and that they are...
The Valley, yeah.
And everybody had good costumes in the 80s. There was some good... There was like a guy dressed as a poodle with like a little sailor suit on. Like all kinds of... I was like, looking at the costumes...
Well, the
like,
Yoda got the biggest laugh.
Yeah, I remember
you
that.
You know, because it was still very fresh in your memory. Like, and you know what? Yeah, Yoda kind of looks like him. You know? He's like, oh. Yeah, he kind of looks like he could be a brother or a cousin or something.
This movie definitely just smacks you in the face that we're in the 80s.
Yeah, it does, but in a good way. Yeah. In a good way. And I love, dude, it's exactly, Elliot's room looked like what kids, I mean, I'm telling you, like, all the Star Wars figures, he had all the, he's like, look, it's.
Did you love that?
Yeah.
Here's Hammerhead, and here's Walrus Face.
I don't think he knew who Jabba the Hutt was, though, because when he put it up, it's the skinny figure.
No, Boba Fett.
Oh, he said Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. No, Jabba wasn't out yet.
I heard Jabba the Hutt, and I was like, what?
You're thinking in order of that we did the movies. This was the year before.
I love that it's all the obscure characters. Here's Walrus Face and Hammerhead. You can make him have wars.
And he even does a Yoda voice. Did you notice? I never caught. He's singing Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Yes. I had to read a whole article on whether he got rights for that or not.
Oh, really?
Well, they put that in the trivia.
Well, you know, in the credits, they had to give him credit, even though it was just the kids singing it.
They brought up the whole thing about that.
Wow, that's crazy.
And even there was an Elvis Costello poster in his room. So that was a way to make that kid a little hipper. You know, it wasn't like, you know, Aerosmith or something. You know?
And then also you had him wearing a Space Invaders t-shirt, which is awesome.
That was cool.
I love that. Yeah. Sandy, do you love this movie as much as the rest of the kids?
No.
You don't? You hate him? You're just staring at me blankly like, please call on me so I can tell you how much I hate this movie.
I don't hate it. I thought it held up a lot better than I remembered, but I don't think I liked it that much as a kid.
Okay.
So I just didn't watch it very much.
Fair.
And then in band, we played this a lot, and the tuba part sucks.
Oh, so you're thinking about that for me. But this is one of, for me, this is one of John Williams' best scores.
Oh, no, it's beautiful, but if you have to sit in the back of the band and just sit there and play the same note for like 5 minutes, it's not fun. Mm. So.
Tuba.
Other than that.
What's the best John Williams score for a tuba player?
I don't know. We didn't play that much, like, movie music.
Lost in Space.
It was a lot of repeats, so like a lot of E.T., a lot of West Side Story.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yikes. Jake?
Yes?
You love it?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's just such a feel-good movie. It really kind of brings you back to when you were a kid and discovering something new or finding some new thing. You're just all excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like having a puppy.
Did you cry?
An alien puppy. No, I didn't cry.
Did you ever cry?
No. Do you ever cry?
I think I cried when I first saw it, but I've seen it enough where I've kind of grown numb to it.
What I was thinking about, because this and Wrath of Khan came out the same year, I was thinking of all the clunky looking cars when they're chasing the kids on the bikes. God. And I was like, those are the kind of cars the Star Trek crew drove to the set on. So imagine Captain Kirk driving like a car.
State of the art.
That was a state of the art. Those are all those cars, like the Ford Fairmont stuff. Mm-hmm. That's all the stuff that I had driver's ed in. Yeah. Like I was like, I learned to drive in cars that look like that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But, this is a great slice of life for me for the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, I looked at it that way this time instead of the star. I was like...
It's a time capsule.
The staircase in his house, my friend Dan had a staircase that reminded me of like those really big handrails and all that. Very 80s looking house, but kind of like Stranger Things. I think they really took this is like one of the movies they modeled themselves after, because it was 82, so there's still a lot of 70s stuff. You know, the TV, all that stuff.
Also,
was like,
the plants. Every house had the ferns, and you're watering the plant with the spray bottle.
Yeah, you're like late
70s. That's real
70s. The couches look like outdoor furniture.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's how the 80s looked.
The rainbow designs on the shades and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do, you know, I don't watch this as much as the other Spielberg. And I think you're right, John. I think it's because it's aimed so squarely at kids.
This really is a kids' movie. Yeah.
That it's hard to kind of revisit. But this time I watched it, and I really got caught up in it. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is, I don't know why I don't watch this more. Like,
well, I think it helped that I hadn't seen it in like 25 years, you know? So, I think you're right, though. It's aimed at kids, so it's not the sort of thing we're going to pop in every year.
I needed this. You know what? It's funny, though.
You needed
watching
this?
It, just the way everything is going in the world, I kind of needed this movie.
You need a good feel.
I was like, dude, this movie's so innocent.
Yeah.
There's no pretentiousness about it. It's just, hey, this is a kids' movie.
Yeah.
And it's about making a friend and almost losing that friend, and then that's it. It's really about friendship. And you get to see young Erica Eleniak from Baywatch.
Yeah.
She's the girl that Elliot kisses.
Yeah. I saw her in the credits. I'm like, son of a gun, are you kidding me?
I love that whole scene. It's so funny.
When they do the Quiet Man. They even do the score. They even do a little thing from the score in the Quiet Man.
When you start figuring out that they're completely plugged in emotionally, you're going, this is pretty funny. He's getting drunker by the minute. And then E.T.'s watching the Quiet Man, you know?
And that face that kids think drunk adults make, when he does that, like,
hey.
Like hey, how you doing? Hey, yeah. What's going on with that face, you know?
Hi, Elliot.
That was pretty...
He did a great job acting.
He did.
He wasn't like a kid actor. I think that probably was the number one thing Spielberg didn't want, was somebody acting like a kid actor.
Yeah.
You've got to just bring everybody down to normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, he got the part for crying. When he did the cry, and Steven Spielberg asked him, like, how did you do that? He's like, I thought about my dog dying recently.
Oh.
And then it made Steven Spielberg cry. So then he was like, he just got sold on him doing it.
Yeah. Justine, how do you feel about this movie?
I thought it was great. It was a really good feel-good movie.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it since I was a kid, so I didn't realize he was drunk. I just...
You thought he was
like,
acting.
Watching it, I was like, acting so shit. He was drunk.
I love that he throws the beer at the TV when, like, Sylvester's on.
What was on?
It was a Looney Tune, but it was, like, all loud and scary. Throws the beer can at it because he doesn't know.
I didn't realize that he was ever drunk in the movie at all. And I guess there's just things I just didn't realize about the movie. I didn't know that they were playing D&D in the beginning of the film.
Yeah, that's right.
And it reminded me of Stranger Things.
Yeah. They're putting money down on stuff.
And there was like a cigarette. There was smoke.
How old is he supposed to be?
It's supposed to be like high school kids.
So. And the mom's right there. So if they're sneaking a smoke, you know.
It just kind of showed like the discourse with the family or something happening.
Go out and get that pizza. They make him go out and get the pizza. I loved all that interaction. Like the friends that are kind of jerks to Elliot, but then they end up helping him. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, when you're a kid, you're a teenager, it's great because it's like it's all these kids on bikes, you know, yeah, biking around.
But they were adults.
Those insults? Kids were not. Those were not kids on those bikes in a couple of the.
Oh yeah, yeah,
those are
like
full grown adults.
Stunt riders.
Yeah.
They got these motocross guys, you know. Stunt one of them was C. Thomas Howell. You remember?
Yeah,
him
from, C. Thomas Howell. Of
yeah,
course. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until this last time.
One of the gang of kids.
Was because he was in The Outsiders, right? Yep. He's the main guy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. What happened to his career?
He's on a TV show.
Is he?
Yeah, he's had some stuff.
Because, you know, he came up with all those other guys, like Tom Cruise and Patrick Swayze.
Well, he did
know.
Soul Man, John, and then that was the end of it.
Jesus. Can you believe that's in our lifetime? God. They couldn't get Mickey Rooney. So
Soul Man.
Oh, Patrick's not here to do it for us. But so, Justine, did you love it watching it again? Did you?
Yeah, I just realized everything, basically. I just kind of opened up my eyes. But watching it, the first beginning part, I was like, why is this such a big memory for me? But I remembered I loved the E.T. ride, and I kept going on it.
Oh, yeah.
So when I saw the cars all pull up, I'm like, oh, shit, it's just like the ride. And I just, like, it just took me back to the ride.
What was on the ride? I never went on the ride.
It was
are you on a bike?
Yeah, it was Peter
Pan.
Yeah,
you're on a bike. Yeah, it basically is. But when you're waiting in line, you're in the forest, and then you're just like, everything's huge. It looks super cool. I mean, I was a kid, so maybe it wasn't that cool.
It's like Indiana Jones, where the waiting is better than the ride, you know?
You're basically suspended from the ceiling on a bike with E.T.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it was weird because at the end, you end up in like E.T. world, and there's like
yeah.
a weird song.
Yeah, you see all of them. It's and then like, E.T. says your name at the end.
No, unless you're my friend Hiddish, it just says, bye, friend.
So how would it know your name?
You would write it down on a piece of paper, and then they would go, bye, Justine. Sandy. Bye,
or
Jake.
You would hear like a different name because it was the person like beforehand.
Before
or
you,
something.
Like it wasn't quite synced
up. Like it's just off.
Yeah.
But bye, I used to John. Get off that ride and go back in line, and I would just continuously do that my whole day at Universal.
Wow.
So.
Oh, my God.
It's still at Florida.
Oh, is it?
I
would love to go.
I just
on
sent
it.
The ride. I just sent it to my friend Hiddish because I was like, "Dude, check it out."
I was
bye,
bummed.
Friend.
I was so bummed when I found out they closed it because then they put the mummy there.
I'll send you the link because you can watch the. There's a website that does all these ride throughs on, like
yes.
HD ride throughs. I'll send it.
Yes.
To you.
Yes,
it's
I hope
fun.
It's
the
same.
Same one. It's the same
awesome.
Thing.
Awesome. I just remember waiting in line and being in the forest.
Bye, friend.
We used to say that to Hiddish all the time. We go, bye, friend. Like. So great. Let's rank it, E.T. John?
You know, I give it an 8 because there is some kind of sappy moments that kind of take the score down for me.
Okay.
Kind of cornball sappy stuff. But in the main, it's pretty solid, so I give it an 8.
By the way, while we're talking about it,
yeah,
freaking great physical special effects. A puppet, and you believe it.
Yeah, it's Carlo Rambaldi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And they said it's all in the eyes.
Yeah,
you know, the eyes are so believable that that's why you believe it. You know?
So that was 100% a puppet. They didn't have somebody in like a little suit or anything.
Maybe yeah. He might have had a suit,
but it's mechanical.
Like waddling it's
mechanical.
Around.
It's
yeah.
all mechanical. The mm-hmm. eyes and the gestures and all that.
Since I watched the Star Wars one, I told you I watched it all the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
When they did the puppet again of Yoda, they found the lady that did the eyes of Yoda originally, so she did it again for the puppet for the new one.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah,
it makes a big difference. That's the uncanny valley. That's why certain movies. Don't look the CGI. You don't buy it because of the eyes.
Yeah.
You know that's the thing. If you hadn't bought that this thing's really walking around, it'd be the death of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is. Think about how subtle for it being a mechanical effect. The subtlety on the yeah, eyes.
It would be
Mac
and me if you didn't. Do that.
They spend months and months rehearsing on how to articulate the eyes in certain yeah. scenarios or how yeah. to. Convey certain
the
emotions.
Neck.
And they
it's
said
a lot of work to get that.
Majority
down.
Of the money went into the puppet and
mm-hmm.
the animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably like what 5 people running it. You know,
I think
you got somebody doing the eyes, somebody doing the arms.
I think in the credits there are like 8 or so people who are just dedicated
really
just to working with the puppet.
Deborah Winger did the voice.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
It was Deborah.
No kidding.
Eat the.
About
Jake, what do you rank it?
I give it an 8. I give it an 8 as well. Mm-hmm. Really great feel good movie.
Sandy.
So I don't want to watch this again for a while, but it was very fun, and the score is incredible.
Yeah.
I give it a 7.
Very nice. Justine?
I give it an 8.
Yeah, I'm going to go 8. on this one. I'm glad I watched it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I watched
it. Yeah,
because
I was not looking forward to watching it, and I thought, this is solid, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought I was going to do things while playing it, but I just sat there and watched
it. Yeah, it pulls you in. It's shot.
I was like, wow, I love
it. It's shot right beautifully like that. All that stuff in the house in the beginning where it's like foggy outside. And
oh, it's creepy.
Yeah, and then the
light coming out of the tool shed, yeah.
It's just so well shot.
Well, you know, that's Spielberg. He knows, let's face it, you know, the guy knows how to do it, you know?
Yeah, let's face it, damn it. Spielberg, you son of a bitch.
Another great installment in his repertoire.
Spielberg, you magnificent bastard. All right, guys, for the next Digital Movie Club, we're gonna stay in the 1983... and we're going to go to Rambo. We're going to go to First Blood, the original Rambo movie. First Blood.
Haven't seen that, surprisingly.
Wow. It's actually very, you'll be surprised at how it plays out.
I don't know who Rambo is.
Whoa. Sylvester Stallone?
It's one of Sylvester Stallone's.
So it involves a gun.
You haven't seen all of them. You haven't seen any of them.
Well,
you'll like this one.
Hey, how about that? This is like a complete, somebody who's never seen a Rambo movie.
That's awesome.
Wow. I've only watched Sylvester Stallone.
I haven't either.
What do you got?
I haven't seen a movie.
Okay, good. And then we're going to watch a movie, a very offbeat, very, very offbeat 80s movie about the astronaut program. We're going to watch a movie called The Right Stuff.
Never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Never seen The Right Stuff.
You are going to enjoy it.
Can you believe that?
I believe you guys will like it, but you might not, but we're going to watch it. I will give you this, Justine.
Do you recommend watching Right Stuff first or First Blood?
Well,
how do you not think that song?
Is it like 3 hours?
It's a little longish.
It's long, yeah.
It's a little longish, so give yourself some time to watch. You're so funny. I will tell you, there's a brief appearance by a young Jeff Goldblum in this.
Uh-oh. Oh my God, he's so funny.
this cast is it's a good cast. You're going to see a lot of guys that you recognize, and they're going to be very young. So The Right Stuff, Philip Kaufman, and First Blood.
Forgot to say, Steven Spielberg was writing the movie E.T. The large part of that script was written while he was doing Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Beautiful.
And Steven, or sorry, you just said her.
Melissa Matheson.
She was the one at that point. It was a girlfriend. She was helping him write it out.
Let me tell you something, guys. This is a great time to be a kid. Imagine Empire Strikes Back comes out 1 year, then Raiders of the Lost Ark, then E.T. It was just like every summer was just.
Are we going to watch Poltergeist?
We can.
Because that was a knockout, too. You know?
I love Poltergeist.
I'm going to tell you what.
That's my favorite.
I'll tell you what. It was on sale today on Vudu for $4.99. I almost bought it. So maybe I'll buy it while I own it. Because I do need to own that movie. That's a great movie.
And that's a real 80s. If we're doing the 80s, that's a real 80s movie.
That is
movie.
My favorite horror movie. That's
a good one. Terrified me as a kid.
Oh, by the way, when we first moved into our new house, we had a lemon tree outside. And it was right outside my window. And that movie just zapped.
I was ruined like, you on trees.
Trees. I couldn't stand the trees.
And you had a clown doll.
Oh, no. Never. Guys, this is great. And I don't want to point to the obvious, but I feel like we really had a flow today, and I feel like everything went well.
I feel like there were a lot more high fives in this
There was
one.
A lot more high fives. I'll give you another one.
All you got to do is switch chairs.
Yeah. We were not.
All the pieces are coming together.
All the pieces are coming together. Guys, for John, for Jake, for Patrick, who's not here, for Justine, and for our friend Sandy, we want to say, what do we want to say, guys?
This transmission ends now.
And what else?
Fight the power.
Yeah. Don't forget to shop local.
Wow.
I didn't have the music queued up.
This podcast is brought to you by North Gateway.
Screw the Astros. We're going to say goodbye with a little John Williams. Bye, everybody. Fight the power.